Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. It's Friday, end of the week, and Fridays in the fall or end of summer are so much better than Fridays in the middle of summer, aren't they? I mean, last night, week one of the NFL football season off and rolling. And in regards to last night's game, I'm the first person to say just because a game is low scoring doesn't mean it was bad. Let's give defense some credit. And while I talked in length yesterday about how much better I believe that Packers defense is going to be this year, I did not see a lot from that Bears offense. I'm not taking anything away from the Packers defense. I mean, they kept a professional football team at 3 points on the road last night, but Mitch Trubisky just did not play well. And the mistakes that you see from the Bears, the mistakes we saw last night, that I don't believe will be a factor of week three, week four. Pre-snap penalties killed Chicago last night. We saw a second and 40. Now, you'll probably not see that again this season in the NFL. We saw it last night, nationally televised game. Again, I don't think that it was great football, but I thought the Packers defensively were pretty good last night. We can talk more about that game a little bit later on in the show. You get past the Thursday night action. Tonight we have Friday Night Lights. The Carbon Dinos will travel on the road to take on the Judge Memorial Bulldogs. And we're going to bring you the live play-by-play call on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. I'm going to be joined by Travis Anderson to bring you that call tonight. Looking forward to it. Tomorrow morning, we have Utah Ute football, 11 a.m. kickoff against Northern Illinois. And, boy, just a lot of football action. Sunday, everybody will play in the NFL and not name the Packers or the Bears. So, again, a lot to get into. It could pretty much be a football day every day here on Drive Time Sports with us only having an hour. Let's start by talking about some of the headlines that are dominated by the NFL today. It seemed very grim as far as the future for Antonio Brown in Oakland yesterday. We did get some clarity today. Antonio Brown will in fact suit up and play for the Raiders in their season opener against the Broncos on Monday night. And of course, you will be able to listen to the live broadcast of that game right here on KOAL as we are now a Raider affiliate. But Antonio Brown, he was back today. John Gruden said he was kind of numb to the situation. He loves Antonio Brown, loves the type of person he is. They just needed to get on the same page. Apparently, there was an emotional apology from Antonio Brown during a team meeting. And I think this is the right call from the Raiders. If you could put everything behind you and just move on and play. Of course, all this stems from a confrontation with general manager Mike Mayock. And apparently things got pretty heated. Brown threatened to punch Mayock, which is just insane to me. You got a guy that gives you $30 million guaranteed and you want to punch him in the face. But regardless, it looks like for the moment, it's water under the bridge. And I'll tell you why Antonio Brown gave an emotional apology. It has everything to do with him losing $30 million guaranteed. I'm not giving this guy the benefit of the doubt anymore. I don't think anybody should. If you believe that Antonio Brown's actions have anything to do with benefiting those around him rather than himself, you have no reason to think that. Right? I'm not giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. Let's see how long before another Antonio Brown situation pops up. Speaking of troubled wide receivers in the AFC West, the Kansas City Chiefs made a statement today by announcing that Tyreek Hill has received a 3-year contract extension worth $54 million, and that includes $35 million in guaranteed money. Pro Football Talk first reported the details of this deal. The extension comes just months after he was being investigated regarding child abuse concerns. The prosecutor announced in April that he would not be charged. And look, Tyreek Hill is such an important part to this Chiefs offense. I firmly believe that he is worth 3 to 4 wins on this Chiefs team. He makes Patty Mahomes so much more dangerous. He makes guys like Sammy Watkins so much more viable across the center of the field. And I believe that Tyreek Hill had a lot to do with the success that we saw from Kareem Hunt. This is a no-brainer for Kansas City. They had to lock him up. They did. 3-year, $54 million deal. Like I said, as long as he's healthy, you're looking at 3 to 4 more wins on this Chiefs team. I think that highly of Tyreek Hill's game. Hopefully now he can get it together off the field. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. We had a game earlier today suspended due to weather between the Oakland A's and the Detroit Tigers. It's a big one for the A's. They're sitting at win number 81 at the moment. They lead 5-3 in that suspended game. Contest that'll begin in the 5 o'clock hour. The Cardinals will take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Cardinals looking for win number 80 on the season. The Rangers will battle the Orioles at 5:05. We get the Yankees and the Red Sox at 5:10. Also the Phillies at the Mets. The Blue Jays will travel to meet the Rays in a highly important game. Tampa needs to make sure that they hold off either Cleveland or Oakland. I'm still waiting for the Rays to fade. I got to put more faith in Tampa, but I just can't for whatever reason. Tonight they'll take on the Toronto Blue Jays. 5:10, we get the Diamondbacks and the Reds. The Royals will take on the Marlins. The Nationals travel to meet the Atlanta Braves. I love this matchup right here. Dallas Keuchel will be on the mound tonight for Atlanta. Patrick Corbin will toe the rubber for the Nats. 6:10 tonight, we get the Angels and the White Sox. The Cubbies will battle the Brewers. Fun pitching matchup in this one as well. Cole Hamels against Zach Davies. 6:10 tonight, the Mariners will take on the Astros. We get the Indians and the Twins. And then we jump to the 8 o'clock hour. Tigers-A's game 2 of a doubleheader. We get the Rockies and the Padres, and then the Dodgers and the Giants. Clayton Kershaw, who may just sneak up and win the Cy Young. It's very possible. He's 13-4 with a 2.9 ERA. He's been so quietly good, and it's because for the majority of the year, he was the third-best pitcher on this Dodger team. He has once again become the ace. Inconsistencies from Walker Buehler and Ryu has been roughed up his last couple of starts. The Dodgers take on the Giants tonight. The Dodgers with 92 wins so far this season. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We'll give you the local sports recap in just a moment. On the show today, we're going to talk college football, gearing up for a couple of big matchups tomorrow. Two games that are really can't-miss TV. And we'll talk about those. Clemson and Texas A&M, and then we get LSU and Texas. Those are the two big games. And a couple of interesting ones as far as the Pac-12 goes. USC and Stanford, I like that matchup. And we'll also talk about Zach Moss and how great he was last week for the Utes. And we'll see if Utah can keep that momentum rolling tomorrow in a cupcake contest against Northern Illinois. Plus, we'll talk fantasy football gearing up for week 1 of the NFL, which will continue on Sunday. That's all coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAO 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Tonight on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, the Carbon Dino football team will continue the season as they travel on the road to take on the Judge Memorial Bulldogs. The Dinos are still in search of their first win, so far sitting 0-2 on the season, following setbacks to ALA and most recently Duchesne. Judge Memorial, on the flip side, will enter with a record of 1-2. They most recently defeated Layton Christian 20-7. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by head coach Josh Huntsman, and he recapped last week's setback to Duchesne.
You know, it's kind of hard. You know, you give up a 4th-and-31 for a touchdown, and then, you know, your center gets hurt in the ball game, and you end up having 2 bad snaps that go in the end zone for safety. It's just one of those games that's kind of a heartbreaker because you don't typically lose football games that way.
Coach Huntsman continued by talking about tonight's opponent in Judge Memorial.
New head coach in Willie Haas, and he's doing his best to get them prepared and do what they can do. Those first year struggles, despite what everyone says, they're real. And you have to accommodate for that, and you have to try to get through it. You know, we're hoping to be able to shut down their passing game and try to make them one-dimensional. We feel if we can make them one-dimensional and running football, our defensive line is up to the challenge. We think we have a pretty good defensive line, and feel like we can play with just about anyone in the state or post four.
Live coverage of tonight's contest is scheduled to begin at 6:20 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. It's there you'll hear this complete interview with Coach Josh Huntsman. Kickoff will follow shortly after at 7. And remember, you can listen to the game anywhere by using the KRPX radio app on your smartphone or by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. We stick with high school football, and tonight's scheduled contest between Emory and Juan Diego has been canceled. It will go down as a forfeit against the Emory Spartans. Emory will return to the football field next Friday as they play host to the Juab Wasps. We switch high schools and sports. Today, the Pinnacle Panther baseball team will play host to Valley in the first of two region matchups this season. Been a busy week for the Panthers. Earlier on Wednesday, they traveled on the road to Bryce Valley. And again, today will be the first of two matchups with Valley. The second will come in the regular season finale set for October 2nd. Start time for today's home contest is scheduled for 3 p.m. Tomorrow, the Utah Utes will make their return to KOAO 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. as they take on Northern Illinois in the home opener. Live coverage of the contest is scheduled to begin at 10:30. Kickoff will follow shortly after. The Utes are looking to continue to ride the momentum built in the season opener last week as they easily defeated the BYU Cougars. Again, that'll be Utah Ute football tomorrow morning on KOAO 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. And we end by moving back over to high school sports, where today and tomorrow, the Carbon Dino Tennis Squad will travel to St. George to participate in a two-day tournament. Carbon recently returned to the court this past Thursday, and they performed quite well at the varsity level, picking up a victory. You can get your complete recap and the results at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down the drain.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Let's talk some college football. Tomorrow morning, right here on KOAL, we'll send you to Rice-Eccles Stadium. The Utah Utes will participate in the home opener as they take on Northern Illinois. Utah riding the high from that big victory over BYU last week. And we'll talk about that and some of the other games that could affect the college football playoff right now with my great friend Antoine Staley. Antoine, of course, a writer at Athlon Sports, always kind enough to take the time out to talk college football with us. Antoine, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
It's good to be with you, Jordan.
Let's dive right into it by talking about week one, your week one takeaways. Oklahoma looked good offensively. Should not be a surprise. Jalen Hurts was the real deal. And for the listeners out there who do not know, you have a vote for the Heisman Trophy. I asked you who caught your eye. You laughed. You said Jalen Hurts. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Jalen to capture the Heisman Trophy. And the reason I say that is because a lot of voters are weird and they specifically will not vote for someone based on the story around it. So I'm wondering if the fact that Oklahoma's had two previous quarterbacks win the Heisman Trophy, if that strays some of the older voters away. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. People kind of get tired of the same thing. Not only do you see it in college football, you see it in professional sports with Major League Baseball and the NFL and things like that. So yeah, people want different, they want change, they want different things, but I definitely think that Hurts put himself in a good position with all the amount of touchdowns that he scored last week, and also the fact that Oklahoma doesn't have the toughest of schedules either. I definitely think that they'll be favored in all of their games, including against Texas. Whether they win that game or not remains to be seen. But, yeah, I definitely think he has a good chance to win it. And plus, he's a quarterback, and everybody loves quarterbacks, the voting for quarterbacks. So I definitely think that he put himself in a good position to be a front runner for it. I also like Jonathan Taylor. I like what he did against South Florida last week, too, as well. So those two really stuck out to me.
If we talk about Jonathan Taylor and Wisconsin here for just a moment, it seems different this year with Wisconsin. There are some seasons, Antoine, I go into the year and I say, okay, it's Wisconsin once again, a little bit overrated. I don't know that I have that feeling with this year's Badgers team. I think they're legit. I think this is one of the best Wisconsin teams that we've seen in a couple of years.
Yeah, I definitely think they did exactly what you have to do against a quality opponent on the road. I think South Florida does have some issues there of their own. But, yeah, I mean, they won 49-0. It was no let-up. They played really hard throughout the course of the game, and Taylor just had a monster game in both the first and second half. So, yeah, I think they're one of the sleeper teams in college football. I don't think a lot of people are talking about them, and I think they're a potential 10-win team and also could wind up in the Big Ten championship too as well.
Let's talk about this weekend's games. There's truly four or five games, I think, that'll catch even the casual college football fan's eye. Texas A&M at Clemson. First two top 11 clash between two squads. I mean, last week we had Oregon, we had Auburn. It was a classic game. It was a thriller, actually. I don't know that this one's going to live up to that type of contest because, again, that was one of the best games of the weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But what we saw from Texas A&M, what we've seen from Clemson, this will definitely be an intriguing one. 1:30 p.m. start time, I believe, here, Mountain Time. For those wondering, it'll be on ABC as well, Texas A&M at Clemson.
Yeah, I definitely think last year's battle between the two was eventful with the classic as well. If you remember, Clemson won by 2 points. Kelly Bryant, the quarterback at the time, had a really good game and really bailed them out there. And A&M could have easily won that football game. This year, the game's in Death Valley and Clemson. And I don't know if it's going to be as close to what it was last year. I thought Clemson kind of underestimated A&M, especially in Jimbo's first year there. This year, I definitely expect Clemson not to underestimate the A&M team. A&M is obviously coming in there ranked this year, highly acclaimed. And I think Trevor Lawrence, and the weapons that they have there are going to definitely not only hold up the spread and also cover the spread, but also win the game pretty handily.
Yeah, all the talk in the offseason was about Trevor Lawrence, and I still believe he would have been the number one pick in the draft had he been able to go to the NFL draft. I don't think there would have been any question about that. There was a lot of hype around this kid. He was in a lot of storylines throughout the offseason, but Antoine, it wasn't Trevor Lawrence that was super impressive in that season opener against Georgia Tech. It was Travis Etienne. I mean, he was fantastic in that game.
Yeah, another Heisman candidate there is ATN had a monster game. Actually, Lawrence kind of struggled against Georgia Tech defense, and ATN had a monster game there, ran all over the Georgia Tech defense and put on the show. And that's the thing about this Clemson team. They have different ways to beat you. It's not going to be just – it doesn't have to just be Trevor Lawrence each week. It can be ATN. It could be the host of their excellent wide receivers there. So, yeah, they have a ton of weapons offensively. I know they lost a lot on the defensive side of the ball, but they definitely have one of the most explosive offenses there. And I definitely think that the reason they're going to reach the college football playoff once again is because they have a variety of ways to beat you, and I think that last week against Georgia Tech, you saw that.
Let's move on and talk about LSU at Texas. I actually think this will be the best game of the weekend. It's number 6 LSU against number 9 Texas. I'm still not 100% sold on the Longhorns just yet. I think there's been some big strides made, obviously, since the departure of Charlie Strong. But again, I'm not 100% sold yet on this squad. I think this is going to be a big step into the right direction. You take a look at LSU, Joe Burrows. He was really the guy last season. If he didn't turn the football over, LSU was in games and they found ways to win. He was really the key. That's a real simplistic way of looking at it, Antoine, but that was the fact last year. If he took care of the football, this team found ways to win games, and they did it on the defensive end.
Yeah, then the games that they lost, and yeah, it's that simple. He didn't take care of the football. I remember watching the game against Florida. He turned the ball over many times and cost them a critical game against the Gators there. So, yeah, also at Alabama, I know you look at the final score and you think that Alabama just steamrolled LSU, but that certainly was the case, at least not in the first half. So, yeah, that's the main thing with Burrow. He has to take care of the football, and he's able to do that. I definitely think that LSU not only has a chance to win this game, which I expect them to do, but also compete for the college football playoffs. The Tigers have a great defense. They're stacked there. They have great, excellent skill position players around them. So, yeah, that's the big key for him, the quarterback position, which has been a key for LSU or a factor of why they hadn't been successful throughout the course of the few years.
You mentioned the defense for LSU. One name I'm going to throw out there for people to pay attention to is Jacob Phillips. Kid's a ball player.
Yeah, Yeah, he's one of the he's a bit stud, and definitely one of the best players in the country, if not one of the best defensive players in the country, at least. I expect him to have a really good game, and he's going to have to try to contain the Texas offense there and force some turnovers.
Let's move to the Pac-12. I do like this game, Stanford and USC. However, I thought the outside chance that USC had of sneaking up and winning the Pac-12 South went out the window when JT Daniels went down this past Saturday against Fresno, because the bottom line is that kid is a very good football player. I know USC fans will try to comfort themselves and tell me that JT Daniels isn't the end-all be-all for that offense. In my mind, Antoine, he truly is. I think he's that good of a football player. And remember, JT Daniels, I always took it as he's kind of the guy that gave Clay Helton another year at USC, and now he's gone. I think there's some massive problems in SoCal.
Yeah, I definitely think, too. I really liked USC coming into the year. I thought they also had a chance to win the Pac-12 South and really get Clay Helton off the hot seat. And now, after Daniel's injury, he's back on the hot seat despite winning last week over Fresno State. It's not going to be easy for, especially even though they are at home, the playing Stanford team that's always well coached over David Shaw. But you got an inexperienced guy, passer, taking on a Stanford team that's always well coached and always consistent defensively. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go. But yeah, I know USC is still the favorite, actually, believe it or not, to win this game. But I like the Cardinal taking, especially considering the circumstances with the Trojans.
Yeah, I guess the only reason why USC would still be the favorite is because it is at the Coliseum. KJ Costello, the quarterback for Stanford, he's not going to be playing this game, so they're going to have to go to the backup, Davis Mills. To me, that affects USC a little bit more playing with a backup quarterback than it does Stanford, just based on the way these two teams approach the game offensively.
Yeah, Stanford relies, obviously, they're more of a smash-mouth running team. USC relies more on the quarterback. I definitely could see Shaw take the ball out of the quarterback's hands and try to rely more on rely on their defense to win games, and two, rely on that running game. So yeah, that's why I give Stanford the edge there. But I do actually expect this to be a really close game. But yeah, I definitely think Stanford has the edge here slightly. Yeah,
I would agree with you. Another game that I am interested in, and it's an early kickoff, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Army's going to travel to the Big House to take on Michigan and Ann Arbor. Now, last week, Michigan, who's one of the perceived favorites coming out of the Big Ten, they didn't look that great against Middle Tennessee. And look, week one, a lot of things can happen. I typically tell people, if you get a win, I don't care if it's a 1-point win or a 30-point win, crumble up week one, throw it away. Week two is going to be completely different. But Army, you go back to what they did with Oklahoma just a year ago. This is a dangerous team. It takes a minute to get acclimated to what they want to do. If Army can hang around for a quarter or two, we could have a pretty epic finish in the second half. I don't know if it gets to that point, but just based on the fact that Michigan didn't look great last week and knowing what we know about Army, I like this game.
Yeah, the spread, I believe, is like 23 or something like that. So, yeah, you look at Army, they run the triple option. They've given teams fits with the triple option. And as you alluded to, Michigan didn't look necessarily really good last week as well. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Army would at least keep it close there, especially with the running game, because this is something Michigan doesn't see every day. They don't usually run against teams that run the triple option. It's been a while since they have. I can't remember the last time they have off the top of my head. But, yeah, I definitely think it's going to be an interesting dynamic, especially for those players, the defense for Michigan. It would not surprise me if Army were to keep it close, at least heading into the third quarter. I expect Michigan to win. I think they will win, but it could be a lot closer than what a lot of people think.
Is there a game that you're interested in that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I actually the North Carolina Miami game, which I'll be in Chapel Hill Saturday for that, because you look at North Carolina, they had a big Matt Brown's return, they had a big win over South Carolina last week. There's a lot of buzz and excitement for the Tar Heels heading to their first home game. The game was in Charlotte last week, and they play a Miami team that, I mean, they had a chance to beat Florida a couple of weeks ago. They're 0-1. They definitely don't want to start 0-2, especially losing the conference game. So it's a critical game, really, for both of them. North Carolina could try to have a stranglehold on the ACC Coastal Division, and Miami, if they go 0-2, especially when they still have to play Virginia Tech on their schedule, and Florida State. It's definitely not looking good for them if they were to start 0-2 on the start of the year.
Antoine, I want to end with this. We did talk about the Heisman contender, or the Heisman, a couple of Heisman contenders, I should say, in Jalen Hurts and Jonathan Taylor at the beginning of the segment. Just for Ute fans, based on week one performances, I think at least for the Maxwell Award, you have to throw Zach Moss's name out there. It looks like Utah is going to ride this guy an awful lot this season. I'm not too impressed with what the Utes have as far as an air attack, which means Moss is going to be the focal point of this team. If Utah was to win the Pac-12, can you see Zach Moss at least getting an invite to the Heisman ceremony?
Yeah, I think it's possible. He definitely had an excellent game week one against BYU. So, yeah, had nearly 200 yards. So, yeah, I definitely think that he'll be in the mix there. I just think that Utah, they have to play well doing in the nationally spotlight games. That's really what it's all about, just playing well in front of millions and him putting up really big performances. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about Zach Moss yet, but if he was to go out and have a big year rushing close to 2,000 yards and Utah would be successful winning the Pac-12 South at least, I think there's an outside chance he could be invited to New York. But, yeah, it's definitely possible. He's a really excited player, and I think more people need to tune in and outside of the Mountain area and the Pac-12 to learn who he is.
Last question. I got to talk BYU for a moment as well. BYU loses to Utah last week. Tennessee, they suffered just a terrible loss. Those two teams will battle it out tomorrow night, 5 p.m. kickoff. Pruitt or Sataki, who needs this one more?
Tennessee. Tennessee, they got embarrassed at home against Georgia State last week, which is like one of the big upsets of the weekend, and they have to have this. I think a lot of people like Jeremy Pruitt there in Tennessee and Knoxville, but losing a game like that to a Georgia State team that just created the program not too long ago, it's really embarrassing considering. I mean, it's pretty much rock bottom for Tennessee these last 12 years or so. Since they fired Phil LaFleur, they haven't been the same program. I remember Tennessee they were a national power at one point in time, but now they're kind of an afterthought. So, yeah, they definitely need this win, especially they need to beat BYU. They need to beat Chattanooga next week before they enter SEC play against Florida.
Antoine Staley, always a pleasure to get you on the show to talk college football. Please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You find me at Athlon Sports. Also find me at Twitter at Antoine Staley.
Antoine Staley, always great to get him on to talk college football. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Utes.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no gimmicks.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. They say we talk NFL football. Just wrapped up college last segment, but we're going to go a little bit of a different direction for this NFL segment and talk fantasy football. Now, every Saturday on KOAL at 4 p.m., you can listen to Drive Time Sports NFL. It features Travis Anderson, who you hear daily here on Drive Time Sports, and also Dave Hokanson. And Dave is joining us in the studio right now to preview what might just be in store on tomorrow's show. Dave, fantasy football, people love it.
You know, they do, and Travis and I discussed the fact that last year we didn't spend a lot of time on fantasy football. We just didn't. And so this year I think we're going to try and devote at least, you know, one segment to some sort of fantasy football because everybody loves it. Everybody plays it. You know, every office has some type of fantasy football pool, it seems like.
Well, I'm glad you guys will tackle that because I've kind of made Drive Time Sports a no fantasy zone because, for one, I think it's given a false sense of comfort to some people.
Oh, right? It has.
Like, if you're a Cowboys fan and you have Saquon Barkley on your team, a little bit of your mind isn't completely upset when Saquon Barkley scores a touchdown, and that's a problem. That's my problem with fantasy sports.
At least twice a season.
At least twice a season, right?
You got to worry about that kind of stuff. And you know,
look, I play fantasy football, and I'll tell you right now, being a Ram homer, I don't care if Russell Wilson's my quarterback or not. I want him throwing five picks, no touchdowns. I don't care anything about fantasy football. I don't care if money's on the line. It does not matter to me. On Sundays, I have my team and my team only. You know, that's the way I feel.
What do they always say? The best scenario for a fantasy football quarterback that, you know, is in your division is, what, four touchdowns and they lose the game?
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to be upset when they score touchdowns.
Yes.
Okay, let's dive into it. Start 'em and sit 'em. I have a couple in mind for myself, but I'm going to start with you. Let's start at the quarterback spot. Give me your top three quarterbacks. Start 'em.
Start 'em. Jameis Winston against San Francisco.
Okay, let me stop you right there, because Jameis Winston, to me, is a guy that can be had probably on the waiver wire in a lot of fantasy football leagues. He's gone extremely late in the two leagues that I have. You and I share a team. We drafted him extremely late. For whatever reason, there's a lot of hate going towards Jameis Winston. I want to remind fantasy football players out there of this. He has Mike Evans, who's a huge target, very productive receiver. I say he's top five in the NFL. And he also has Chris Godwin. And if you don't know who Chris Godwin is, you will learn
this year.
You're
about to.
This kid is good.
Yes, but here's the thing with them going up against San Francisco. Now, I know last year is last year, but week one, that's all you've got to go off of, really.
It is.
So last year, the 49ers allowed the most passing touchdowns and third most fantasy points to quarterbacks at home.
Yeah, and I think it really boils down to what Tampa Bay... I believe San Francisco has improved defensively, and that's why I think they're going to make a push in that division. But at the same time, I believe that Tampa Bay has improved up front as well. Plus, you have Bruce Arians running the show now. A little bit of a different scenario. This is a make-it-or-break-it year for Jameis Winston. He's been there 5 years. Eyebrows are going to be raised a little bit if Jameis has a sluggish performance on Sunday. I'm with you. I like that. Okay. I would start Jameis Winston.
Maybe a sleeper, and this was in a couple of leagues that I've looked at and a couple of things I've looked at. Josh Allen against the Jets.
Josh Allen, a little bit of a sleeper. Interesting. He's interesting to me because they did improve their options, his options, I should say, on the outside. He doesn't have Shady McCoy anymore, but they have a very capable rookie running back coming out of the backfield. Yeah, I like that. If he can get his accuracy under control, I think Josh Allen, again, is someone that you could probably pick up on the waiver wire if you're not in love with your matchup.
And then lastly, and I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here because he's out there, Dak Prescott against the New York Giants. Last time they played, Dak went for 387 against the New York Giants.
Oh, I have a hard time starting Dak Prescott in any league. And that's not a knock on Dak. And you know I like Dak Prescott. But the quarterback spot, to me, there's tiers. There's tier one and tier one. You know, throw your Patty Mahomes. I would say Aaron Rodgers, but last night was definitely an indication that he wasn't a tier one quarterback, right? But Dak to me is a tier three quarterback.
If you have to start him,
if you have to, there are worse options out there.
Absolutely.
But you're behind the eight ball if you start Dak. We can agree on that, right?
Yes. And here's the other part. Now, if you're starting Dak. Who not to start? How about Big Ben against the Pats?
Yeah, it's not a good matchup. It's not a good matchup.
And you don't know what to expect with Antonio Brown being gone. You don't know what to expect from Ben Roethlisberger. And the other part of it is the Pats D held visiting quarterbacks to less than 15 fantasy points last year.
You know, and you know what else? When I look at Pittsburgh, and we're going to find out, I've taken a lot of flack in saying this. I don't know that Juju's the number one. I think Juju was a fine number two. He had Antonio Brown to spread the field that was gaining double coverage on the opposite side. Juju is now the man, and I don't know if he is a number one wideout. We'll find out, but that'll affect Big Ben.
And, you know, that's the thing that you got to look at, too, is, yes, you know, he had a stellar season last year, but he had Antonio Brown on the other side.
Big difference.
It's easy.
Big difference.
It's easy. You know, I know there's people out there that are looking toward we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but they're looking to Gallup from the Cowboys having a big year, but he's got Amari Cooper on the other side of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and plus, Big Ben has never beat New England in New England, 0-5 all
plus,
time against
Plus, you know
New
what,
England.
It's just, it's going to be one of those nights. It's banner night, and you know what happens in banner night?
I would probably stay away from Big Ben. Let me throw another quarterback out there. If you have him, start him. I think he's going to go down as the number one quarterback this week in fantasy. It's Russell Wilson. Because, again, I love the matchup, and that's really what you have to pay attention to. The Bengals were just awful in 2018. And if I can peg three teams that I guarantee you will finish in the bottom five, I guarantee you it'll be Cincinnati, Miami, and Arizona. Those are the three worst teams in football. A lot of excitement right now around Seattle with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney. I like Russell Wilson. I would definitely start him.
I would go with that as well. That's a pretty solid pick there.
Move on to running backs.
Running backs, you know what? You got to go with Austin Eckler against the Colts.
Yeah, okay.
With you know, he should get work. Plus, he's a double threat. He's gonna be a ground and an air guy. So you're gonna have to go with Eckler. Maybe a little bit of a sleeper because you don't know what to expect from him is Darius Geis at the Eagles.
Yeah, the Redskins running back. I know that this has definitely affected Adrian Peterson's stock. In fact, he's probably on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. Don't know what to make of Geis. I got to watch him a lot when he was at LSU. The last time I saw Darius Geis on the football field, he was standing on the sidelines in the Citrus Bowl. It was LSU and Notre Dame. LSU had a fourth down and one, or fourth and goal from the 1 yard line. And for whatever reason, Ed Orgeron took Darius Geis out of the game. They kicked a field goal. Notre Dame scored on the following drive and won the football game. That was the last time I saw Darius Geis. And you know what I loved about that? He was not happy.
Well, that's a good sign.
He was very angry.
That is a good sign.
It is a good sign. So I like that. Yeah, I
and then
like
another
that.
One to kind of look at is and right now is Carson, the guy from Seattle's name's...
Yeah, Chris Carson.
Chris Carson. Going up because you talked about the Cincinnati Bengals. And what a great matchup.
Yeah, for Seattle, absolutely. Chris Carson last year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was top five in rushing yards in the entire NFL. So, yes, another one to pay attention to in Seattle would be Rashad Penny as well. I was high on this kid coming out of college 2 years ago. I think he's a perfect complement to Carson. You could definitely do worse at the flex spot than somebody like that. Let me throw a name out there that you could probably attest to. What about Tony Pollard in Dallas?
I think even though they're not saying it right now, Tony Pollard would be a good back to pick up for maybe two or three weeks.
2 to 3 weeks, yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
You
know, I think Zeke's going to be on a pitch count going in against the Giants. I think he maybe gets 15 to 18 carries somewhere in there. That might even be a little bit high for him. But and Pollard's comfortable in this offense right now. And once Zeke gets up and gets going, then his touches are going to decrease, of course. So Pollard would be a good pickup if he's sitting out there and you need somebody to start and just have and have on your team to just fill a spot.
Now, along the same line, let me go back to what we were talking about during the quarterback segment when you said Josh Allen, he'd be a sleeper. And I was mentioning the options and how they improved that around Josh Allen, and I brought up Devin Singletary, very capable rookie running back. Stay away from him for a couple of weeks, and the reason being, Frank Gore is in Buffalo, and you know there's still some tread on the tires for Frank Gore, and you also have TJ Yeldon. It's going to take Singletary 3 to 4 weeks to really garner that position. Stay away from him. There's other options out there, especially if you're only playing in a 12-team league.
Very true. And maybe one to stay away from at Derrick Henry going against the Browns.
Mostly because
and I can't believe that I'm going to say this. I think he could be on a limited basis as well, and I can't believe I'm going to say that the Browns have a high-powered offense.
Yeah, on paper, they do.
So, you know what? If something should happen in that and they're having to play from behind, Henry's not going to get those touches anyway.
Let's move on to wideout. Who do you like?
I like D.D. Westbrook against the Chiefs.
Okay.
And I like Will Fuller at the Saints.
I'm a big Will Fuller guy. I'm curious to see the explosiveness returning from injury. But, Dave, I'm going to go back to Chris Godwin. Again, we talked about it. I mean, if you like Jameis Winston and you have Chris Godwin, I think he's going to have a terrific season. I'm ready to see what he can do under Bruce Arians. And again, they're going up against the 49ers secondary. Let me throw another name out there to you, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is back. If you're playing in a touchdown-heavy league, I like Cooper Kupp in the red zone because we saw the Rams' offense change drastically last year when Kupp went down with a season-ending knee injury, and it played a big difference in the Super Bowl as well. Jared Goff, who is now the $134 million man in L.A., likes Cooper Kupp.
He does. And you know, we sat here and talked all after he went out. We sat here and talked about it was a lot of what ifs going on. If Cooper Kupp stays healthy, what if? What would have happened to that?
I think they probably
could very well have won the Super Bowl.
They very easily could. I mean, he is definitely a safety blanket for Jared Goff. I like Cooper Kupp starting. Let me throw one out there for you that I do not like. Everybody seems to be extremely high on this kid, and I like him. I just don't like him out of the gate this season, and that's Calvin Ridley with the Atlanta Falcons. I would be a little bit weary on Calvin Ridley. I thought his numbers last year maybe were a little bit more exaggerated based on a couple of games that he had. I like him a lot. Perfect complement to Julio Jones. Not quite sure that he's the guy I would want coming starting at a wide receiver spot this weekend.
Well, and we talked to the end of time about Julio Jones, and the man can put up huge numbers, but if you're in a touchdown-only league, stay away from him.
Yeah, he's had problems getting into the end zone, as crazy as that sounds.
So Ridley'd be a good pickup to play for Atlanta. That'd be an all right thing. And you know what? Atlanta's one of those teams that's kind of quiet this year. Nobody's really talking a lot about him, and I think they like that. I think they like that fact. And Dan Quinn's got to do something this year.
He's on the hot seat.
If he doesn't, he's in a lot of trouble.
Let's move to defense.
Defense, there's one game that jumps out at me this year. This week, we talked about it already, and it's Seattle against Cincinnati. You know, I have no faith in Andy Dalton at all. Not any faith in Andy Dalton. Plus, you got no A.J. Green.
No A.J. Green, no Cordy Glenn either.
I think that right there is probably the start of the week, is Seattle against Cincinnati.
You know, let me throw this out there again. Any team that plays the Miami Dolphins, I'm starting.
Very true.
And so the Baltimore Ravens, I think, are a viable play. No Laremy Tunsil. There's no protection up front. We had a whole segment on the Dolphins earlier in the week. I know that Baltimore lost a couple of options defensively. No more Eric Weddle. No more C.J. Mosley. But at the same time, anybody that is playing the Miami Dolphins, especially with the trade that they just made, sending out Laremy Tunsil and having question marks across the offensive line, I think any team that plays Miami for the first month of the season is probably a pretty safe bet.
Start them.
I would agree with that.
And then Siddhams, you're going to like this one, the Panthers or the Rams.
Really, you think so?
You know what? If everything is going to come down the way they say it's going to, they're supposedly going to unleash Todd Gurley this week.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. I still question his health. I think those knees are still not 100%, but we'll see.
You know, but Dave, this goes back to Jared Goff would be a fine option as well.
Oh,
as
definitely.
Far as fantasy quarterbacks go, and I'm going to tell you why, because regardless of what you think of Goff, name me a better receiving core in the NFL than Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Josh Reynolds, and Cooper Kupp.
You can't.
That quarterback's always a viable option.
Yes.
Always.
Yes. And that's the other thing that I've got as far as the Panthers going up against the Rams.
Sure.
The air attack is going to be too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I agree. Dave Hokanson again. He'll be joined by Travis Anderson tomorrow, 4 p.m. every Saturday. It's Drive Time Sports NFL. And, of course, now you can also follow the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders every week. We'll have the Raiders and Broncos for you Monday night. Dave, it's a pleasure to get you back on.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, we got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back to close out this week of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I actually enjoyed talking fantasy football last segment. We got to do that more often. You know, fantasy football, to me, it's probably second or third on the list. I love fantasy baseball. Because let's be honest, if you're not a Miami Marlin fan, there is no reason to pay attention to the Miami Marlins in September, hardly ever, unless you're playing in a really competitive fantasy baseball league. You pay attention to individual players. It's a little bit different in some senses because it's a 162-game season. It's not 16 in the NFL. Yeah, I get into fantasy baseball quite a bit. We'll talk more fantasy sports in the coming weeks. Again, tomorrow, yeah, you can get a full taste of the NFL, what's in store for Week 1, Drive Time Sports NFL with Travis Anderson and Dave Hokanson. And we have some more exciting stuff going down here on Drive Time Sports. Booked a very exciting guest that will make the announcement next week. If you love college football, you're going to know who this guest is, and I can't wait to talk with them. Do not forget tonight on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, Carbon Dino Football. The Carbon Dinos will take on Judge Memorial. I'm on my way there right now, so we'll catch you tonight for the pregame show. For Travis Anderson and Dave Hokanson, I'm Jordan Buscarini, thanking Antoine Staley for joining us. We are out.